and five.
Dalad Menachem Av, Monday the 8th of August, Vamishmul Kimchi, the Aleph base of Chodesh Av.
Morning everyone. Shkoyach once again to Dudi for arranging this amazing daily dose of Torah, which is really fantastic. I'd like to start off with a short mashal, if I could. A little girl walks into her father's study and she sees on the table a piece of paper. So what does she do? She takes out her coloring pens and she draws a beautiful picture of a lovely house and she leaves the study. 2 minutes later, her younger brother walks in and takes the piece of paper, folds it, makes a paper airplane out of the paper, and he's playing around with it. Suddenly, the mother and the daughter walk in and they see the little boy playing with the paper airplane. He throws the paper airplane up and it shoots straight down and hits the fire and is totally burnt instantaneously. The mother and the daughter turn around to the little boy and they say to the little boy, "Hey, what were you doing? Which paper was it? Was it the paper you found on the desk?" And the little girl says, "That paper was my picture that I drew for Abba. And now you've burnt it." She sits down and starts crying. And the mother turns around and says, "What was that paper? That paper? Oh my gosh, that paper was a promissory note. It was a check. It was a loan that we were going to take out for the winter's expenses." And she says, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" And she sits down to start crying. And the little boy is crying because his paper airplane has combusted. Soon the father comes home and says, "What piece of paper? That piece of paper on my desk? That piece of paper on my desk? That was the title deed of our home. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're now vulnerable." And all four are crying, says the Dubna Magid. All four are crying. The little boy is crying for his paper airplane. The girl is crying for her picture. The mother is crying because of the money for the winter. And the father is crying for the house. They're all crying on their level. But they all have got different understandings of what the tragedy is. So too says the Dubna Magid, Tisha B'Av. We all try to connect to it. But we're all able to connect to it on our own level. And some people are crying because holidays to Israel are expensive. And some people are crying because the Beis HaMikdash is no longer and Avodas Hashem isn't what it could be. What I'd like to do is I'd like to investigate, look down one particular path which I feel I can identify with. And it starts in the following way. Rav Shimon Shkop asks a question in the Psicha to Shari Yoshin there. The beginning Shari Yoshin is one of the most powerful, almost philosophical ways to understand the Lomdus in Shas. And in it he asks a famous question. It's really kind of a question that was asked by the Ramban many years earlier, which is, "V'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha," you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. "Kamocha can never possibly be." We are selfish beings. We cannot be altruistic. How can a human being, we're always looking out for I, we're always looking out for myself. How can I ever really, komocha, love my fellow as myself, break out of my selfish mode? Especially as we're supposed to be mizdamel abore, imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu by selflessness. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anyone, he is independent, so do we become independent, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is naturally a giver, we are supposed to be naturally givers, but the MS is that we are all takers. We cannot break that barrier, we cannot go beyond the impasse of being selfish. So I asked Rav Shimon Shkop, how do we do that? And he answers in a very interesting, but again, kedarko v'kodesh, a very philosophical way, but it's fascinating. So when we're born, This is my words of what he is saying. You're welcome to look it up. When we're born, there is just the ani. There's just the I. Right? I'm just interested in Shmuel Kimchi. And as I grow older, I then marry a wife. I have children. The ani, the I, expands. I expand my ani. In which case, it's true. I can never break my selfishness, but my selfishness is taking care of other people who are included in the I, in the ani. And then my kehillah, and then my city, and then Klal Yisrael. In other words, my purview, the way that I look at the ani, is now growing. I just push out the boundaries of the ani to be more and more inclusive. I'd like to describe a little bit what that means, and then tie it to Tisha B'Av, and I've mentioned that the shir is called the Aleph Beis of Chodesh Av. I've gotten very much into the Aleph and the Beis, the Tzuras and Osios, the meaning of the Osios, and how it all works together, and I hope we'll get to some of that. What is a good story? What makes a good story? Every single story follows a particular, very clear pattern. And the pattern is that everything begins with a certain sense of harmony. There's a shleimus, there's a oneness, there is a cohesion. And then something happens. And then there is a fracture of that cohesion. There is a pirud, that achdus, there is a golus to that geula, there is a falling apart. And then the end of the story is that everything comes back together again. There is a wholesomeness, then there is a fracture, something happens, and then, at the end of the story, the punchline is, everything comes back together again. Chazal call this, klal uprat uklal. Reb Tzadok HaKohen, in Tzidkas HaTzadik, in the early Osios Reish, if you're interested, I can find it for you exactly later. He says that everything follows the pattern, klal uprat uklal. Example number one. The Pasuk in Bereishis tells us that Vayivra Elokim v'sa'adam b'tzalmo b'tzalem Elokim bara oso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man b'tzalem Elokim. Zachar u'nekeva bara osom. Hashem created them, male and female. Asks the Gemara in a few places, Ksuvus and Erevin, what is it, an oso, a him? Or is it an osom, a them? The Gemara answers, one approach in the Gemara is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one individual, du partzufin, a male and female in one entity. What happens? Man and his wife are created as one neshama. They come into this world and they are nifrad. They are separated one from another. They live their own lives. They live their own dreams. They have their own mahalchei hachayim. They have their own mahalach in life. And then what happens is, a baskol, before they came into this world, says, bas ploni le ploni, that they are meyuad for each other. They live their own lives, and under the chuppah, v'hoyu le basar echad, there's a coming together again of the two halves. The ish v'isha, they are together, they're separated, and they're put together once again. The Gemara in Nida tells us that, b'mei imo, we are in our mother's womb, we are a fetus in our mother's womb. And what happens is, there's a ner doluk al rosho, your tzofa, your mabit, mi sofa olam bat sofa, you're able to understand, to encompass, your das encompasses the entirety of the bria. And then what happens, melam denoso kol haTorah kula, they teach us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach, teaches us kol haTorah kula, Kevan sheyatza la'avir ha'olam ba malach. A malach comes when you come out into this world. V'soso apiv, taps you on the lips, whatever that means. U'meshakeach, yeah, u'meshakcho kol haTorah kula, and you forget the whole of the Torah. And then what happens? We go into Kita Aleph. We learn the Aleph base, and then we progress through life. We learn more and more Torah. And what is actually happening? Our neshama is being reunited once again with something that it had lost. There is a klal, my neshama and the Torah. And then there is a prat, there is a there's Meshako, you forget it. And then, Nikorin Divrei Emes, you suddenly hear something, it hits, it resonates deeply. Nikorin Divrei Emes means I've heard this somewhere before. And you have, my Neshama has heard this somewhere before. There is a Klal, there is a Prat, and there is a Klal once again. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, Tkia tu shvarim tshuva tu 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 tkia tu. There is a klal, there is a prat, there is a klal. The pshuta lefaneha, pshuta laachareha, and in the middle there is shvarim and the yalala. Yeah, a cry is because it follows the pattern of human existence, where there was an odom arishon kodem achet. There was a sink between the neshama and the guf. It was evident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Echad V'Yachid Ba'olamo. And then we have a period of Golus. We go into the world, there is Hester, there is a division, there's a subdivision of everything, there is a breaking up, and then there is an even greater breaking up. We go from the Shvarim to the Trua, but the ultimate, V'Hoya Bayom Ahu, Yitoka B'Shofar Gadol, there's going to be a Tzkiah Gadola. There's going to be a oneness, a wholeness, again, in our ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our recognition of the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything follows Klau, Uprat, Uklau. Very powerful. Klal Yisrael is no different. And that's really what Av is about, and that's what Tisha B'Av is about. That we were one. There is an achdus, and sinas chinam is mafrid. Avas chinam is going to get us back together again, but there is a unity, goy echad ba'aretz, which then disintegrates, and be'ezus hashkadosh baruch hu, like we daven Shabbos Mincha, that Klal Yisrael will be once again goy echad ba'aretz. The Maharal in Perek Aleph Beis Gimel, I should have looked it up this morning, of Netzach Yisrael, says a very interesting, points out a very interesting etymological nekuda on the word golus and geula, and I'm sure everyone here has heard it, but it's very pertinent to this, which is that the word golus, gola, and goal are the same letters, except that geula, goal, has got an aleph, and gola has got a hey. Golus is gimel lamed with a hey, and Goal is Gimel Lamed with an Aleph. What is the difference between an Aleph and a Hey? And what does a Gimel Lamed represent? Gimel Lamed, Gilui, Legalot, right? Is always to reveal. A Gal is a wave, because something from underneath comes up on the top. A Galgal, a wheel, goes round and around because it's covered and revealed. Covered and revealed. Legalot, when you're Megale something, you're uncovering something new. Gilui, the Gimel Lamed, for reasons not for now, is a word discovering about discovering, is about uncovering. The difference between the hey and the aleph is that an aleph is one, is the coming together of different parts. Famously, an aleph is two yuds and a vav, right? It's gematria 26. There's a yud and a vav is 10, 10 and 6. There's gematria havaya 26, but it's a composite of many different elements. There's a yud, and it's brought together with a joining vav. That is what an aleph is. It's a composition of many different. You may have thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, sometimes yotzer and borei choshech. Sometimes there's good, sometimes there's evil. Ani Hashem osa kol eile, says Yeshaya. It's really a coming together of seemingly opposites. That is what an aleph is. A hey is beautiful. And hey, a hey, the Ramak tells us, he's got in Sefer HaParadis, he's got a whole section called Shah HaOsios, Ramish, unbelievable. A Dalad is absolute extension. One is, in one direction, across is space, and down is time. And what you have is, Dalet is total, Arba Kanfos, Dalet Goluyos, four always represents total period in space and time. But there's a Yud inside the Dalet to make it a Hey, And that yud actually is the os that's got no extension in space and no extension in time. It is a point. It is a point. A point which has got no extension. And what that tells us is that even though the yud is the nekuda ha'emtzois, says the Maharal, of the four, and it brings together golah. You've spread out everywhere. The hay, you've gone everywhere. The aleph is the coming together of it. We're in a golus, which is kind. We are in the shvarim and the trua. We're in the prat. We're in the chopped up. We're looking. We're trying to get back to that achdus. We're looking to get back to that oneness. I want to share a little story before we go on to what I really wanted to say, part two, which is a story from 1945 in the DP camps near Bergen-Belsen, just outside Bergen-Belsen. I think the whoever liberated Bergen-Belsen, the British, were definitely part of it. They created a DP camp. In that DP camp, there were all sorts of the Sheiris HaPleita were all gathered together, and it was liberated March, April, May 1945. Come along October 1945, they're all there, and it's sukkah time. Sukkah time, there's no sukkah available in the DP camp. So a group of 20 Hasidim decide, you know what we're going to do? We are going to go out Erev Sukkot 1945, and we are going to build for ourselves a sukkah. So that's it, Erev Sukkot in the afternoon. There's not much else to do. There aren't many hachonas to be done in a DP camp for sukkahs, other than go and build a sukkah. They go early afternoon on Erev Sukkot afternoon. They want to leave the camp to go and build a sukkah in a little place, 3 miles away, 40 minutes walk away, a little village somewhere where they know there are some materials. As they're about to leave the camp, there are 100 members of the DP camp standing there, and they say, you can't do this, you can't leave, how can you go out? This is after all we've been through, you're now risking your lives, you don't know if you've got family still alive, and now there are bandits abound in the road, this is irresponsible, it's a chilul Hashem, it's not a kiddush Hashem, what are you doing? And they say, Apal Pikeim, we're going to go, and they manage to get out, they build their sukkah, and they come back that evening, the next night. Next afternoon, they're going to walk out to make a bracha once again in their sukkah. They go out, and this time there aren't 100 people, there are 50 people standing. How can you do this? The same thing, it's a chilul Hashem. They say, Afal Pikeim, we're going out, they go out, they come back. And it happens every night, every day of sukkahs, until the sixth in the afternoon. It's going to be the seventh night, the last night of sukkah, sitting in the sukkah. I think they were Hasidic origin. I don't think they sat in the sukkah in Shmini Shel Pesach. Shmini Atzeres. And there was one man standing there, and he was shouting at them, how can you do this? What are you doing? And one of the Hasidim turned around to him and says, look, you see we've gone. You see we've come back. You see it's not as dangerous as you thought it was. What's really going on, you know? So he says, I don't understand. We've been tortured. We've been gassed. We've been killed. We've been nirdaf. We've been hiding. All sorts for the last 6 years. And there's never been a distinction, a differentiation between you and us. Why is it that when it comes to doing a mitzvah, building a sukkah, why is it that suddenly you don't invite us? It's only your Hasidic group that are going out. There's no difference between you and us. Why didn't you invite us to build your sukkah with you? I think it's a very powerful story. And the story is a very powerful story about Hitler, Yimach Shemo, didn't make any distinction. On Tisha B'Av, we sit down, and we're not crying over the loss of Chalokim of Klal Yisrael. We're crying over the loss of the totality of Klal Yisrael, of the goof of Klal Yisrael, of every chelek of Klal Yisrael. And that is partially a crying over the sinas chinam that brought that separation. And that is part of what the tikkun of avas chinam has to bring. So the question really is, what does all this have to do with the Aleph Beis? And I wasn't so sure until last night. Now the MS is that when I gave Dudi the title, I had all intention of going through the Aleph Beis of Eicha and showing how the Aleph Beis of Eicha corresponds to the actual Ost, the letter, but I wasn't zocher to have the time. I have a few different ideas about it, but I wasn't able to create a Davar Shalim. But I'll tell you what the Gemara does say, and this is really the jumping point and the start point. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Gemara Sanhedrin Kuvdalad, Mipnei Ma Loku Ba'alef Beis, why was Eicha written Ba'alef Beis? Mipnei She'ovru Ala Torah She'nitna Ba'kaf Beis Osios. Because they were over the Torah, Kaf Beis Osios, that's why their punishment, their onesh, Eicha, had to be Ba'kaf Beis Osios. What? Every Aveira in the Torah is written with using the Kaf Beis Osios. What is Rabbi Yochanan trying to teach me in the Gemara that Eicha was written by Aleph Beis and it was written to correspond to the Aveiris that we did Aleph Beis? Obviously on a Poshet level, Aleph to Tav means A to Z. It's the totality. They were over on everything, so they got everything. And that's a poshut level, but there's something deeper going on over here. Secondly, I saw yesterday a very interesting psicha to Eicha Rabosi, a medrash. There's a famous long psicha to the medrash Rabbah on Eicha. The end of the medrash Rabbah, you'll find Eicha Rabbah. And it says that, why is it that Eicha is written Ba'alef Beis? So if you notice, first chapter is Aleph Beis, second chapter is Aleph Beis, fourth chapter is Aleph Beis, the third chapter is triple Aleph Beis, and the last chapter is not written in Aleph Beis, but has 22 psukim. So it's very clear that Yirmiyahu Anavi is harping on the Aleph Beis. Why is it? When was the third chapter written? If you look in Sefer Yirmiyahu, very interesting. Very kedai, open up, crack open. Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 36. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu to write down Eicha and give it to King Yehoyakim in Yerushalayim. This is what is going to happen to Klal Yisrael. What happens is, he writes it down to Baruch Baneria, gives it over to the king. The king reads it, and he reads the first three psukim. The fourth pasuk he reads, and chucks it into the fireplace, the Heach, and it incinerates. That's the end of Eicha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu Hanavi, rewrite everything I wrote. And he sits down and rewrites the whole of Eicha, chapters 1, 2, and 4. Says the pasuk, and he added another triple. Says Rashi, according to the Medrash, that is Ani HaGever, the third chapter, which is triple Aleph Beis. So if you count it up, says the Eicha Rabasi, you've got chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, then you have 3 in chapter 3, and then you have Kaf Beis Osios in chapter 7. This is a fulfillment of the pasuk of that I am going to give you sevenfold punishments in the Tochacha, in Kisovo, and is Mekonin Aleim Kinos, who Sheva Aleph Beis Shal Eicha, that the totality is in the Aleph Beis. Another famous Gemara, not for now, but it's that the Tochacha of Kisovo is actually written, starts with a Vav and ends with a Hey, and it's all 22 letters. There seems to be a very, very powerful connection between the Aleph Beis and Eicha and the Kaf Beis Osios. What is the Aleph Beis? What is the Aleph Beis? I've only got 5 minutes left. I want to give a few examples of the power of Aleph Beis and tell you what I think. The Aleph Beis are the building blocks of the Bria. The building blocks of the Bria. When I say in English, this is a lantern, a lectern, whatever it is, a shtender in Yiddish, the word shtender has got no meaning in terms of what it is. But if I say, this is a kiseh, a seat, the word kiseh actually describes what it is. I'll give you an example. Tzaddik. What is a tzaddik? The letter kuf is a kof, a monkey. He's someone who is tzad, has trapped his kof, his monkey. Kadosh. What is a kadosh? Kuf, his monkey, dash. He has trampled his monkey. Do you hear that? In tzaddik, in kadosh, you have the actual meaning of what a tzaddik is in the words. Shomayim is Eish and Mayim, famously Rashi on Bereshis. Shin is always the letter for Eish. We see in Nesher. Nesher is an eagle. Nun stands for Nefila. Shin stands for Shomayim, for Eish, for high up. Reish stands for Ruach. It's an animal which is held up by the Ruach and is nofel very fast from the Shomayim. It's a Nesher. That's what Rabbeinu Bachai says when Adam comes to the animal. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes, Vayikra Adam, the Shemos, gives a whole plethora of examples. An achbar is someone who's okav, who stores bar, food. Chesed is someone who is chas, who has pity on dal. Dalad is the word dal, is someone who is a poor. Chesed is someone who is chas, has pity on the dal. Every root of every letter is the creation. The Aleph Beis is the fabric of everything over here. That, when we get into the Minuyim, when we get into the Gematrios, it all comes together in an unbelievable lattice, which is partially what has attracted me to it. It is so meaningful. But what is important for us, really, is the order of the Aleph Beis. First comes an Aleph, unity, then comes Beis, Pirud, then comes Gimel. Gimel is a synthesis. Then comes Dalet, four corners. The process of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, all the way to Taf, say the Mekubalim, is the process of existence. It is all about the existence. And the way you metzaref those letters, Betzalel, Betzel, Kel, Yodea, Haya, Betzalel, Etzaref, Esa, Osios, Shabam, Nivru, Shamayim, Ba'aretz. Betzalel knew the secret of how to take the Osios and create a Mishkan, which was an Olam Katan. The Mikdash Ma'at, the Mikdash was an Olam Katan. The 22 letters are the Seder of the world. The Aleph Beis in order are the Seder of the world. Almost like a Tkia Gedola, a Pshuta. One long entity which is unified. There are 22 days in the 3 weeks. Right? 3 weeks plus the Tisha B'Av and Shabbos of Tammuz are all the same day. If you count it, you'll find there are 22 days of the 3 weeks which represent, says the Bnei Yisrael, the 22 Aleph Beis, that Loku B'Kaf Beis. The disarrangement, the disunity of the Aleph Beis is the fracture of the Churban of the world, the Churban of our inner selves. And of course, the Gematria of Yachad together is Kaf Beis. Yud is the 10 days of Tammuz. Ches is 8 days of Av. Dalad is 4 days, 3 Shabbosos and 1 Rosh Chodesh Av. That's Yud, Ches, Dalet, the combining, the connecting together of the Aleph Beis is the reunification of the 22 letters. What is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is when the spies came back, Vayivku Balaila Hahu. They cried, Bechi, Beis Kaf, Yud. Beis Kaf is 22 letters. There's a Bechiyah over here, there is a disarrangement. Of that we cry when there is a confusion. The Vilna Gaon, Talmidei Hagra, say that the Gra says this. We don't have this, I believe we don't have this in print from the Gra. But he says that the word Bechi, cry, comes from the words Mevucha, confusion, Mora Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed. Bechi, you cry when you don't know how to make sense of things. when things are too much for my heart to encompass, for my heart to order, for my lev, my bina, to be able to be masader, it's too much for me to do, I'm incapable of arranging it in an order, I get into bechi. Tisha B'Av is a time when Nevuchim Heim Bamidbar, Nevuchim Heim Sogar Aleim Bamidbar, there is a lack of clarity, there is a lack of pshutas, there is a lack of achdus, and the avoda of the Aleph Beis is not just to learn the Aleph Beis, it's to be mesader the Aleph Beis. What is it to be mesader the Aleph Beis? It's to be able to know how to be metakin, to fulfill the, to recreate within ourselves the building blocks of the Aleph Beis, to understand. I don't mean this just in terms of understanding what an Aleph and what a Beis means, but it means in all areas of our lives, from Aleph to Taf, to be able to put it together in a Seder, and to be able to feel it. And then we're able to get back from the Pshuta Lefoneha to the Pshuta Lachareha. And Be'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create this to be a Moed, a unity, a oneness, where we're all able to come together once again and to be Shechem Echad, to serve Him Shechem Achas. And Be'ezus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll all be able to do this in Yerushalayim. HaBenuya B'mher B'yameinu. Thank you. Gada, 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 gada